Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear from Katie Weaver and Brian Lynn. Later, we will present the next part in our series on America's national parks. But first, earlier this week, South Korea's president described the country's growing trade dispute with Japan as a warning to upgrade the country's economy. He called for economic cooperation with North Korea, which could reduce the big influence of Japan's much larger economy. President Moon Jae-in made the comments during a meeting with top officials to discuss Japan's new trade restrictions on South Korea. The move came as a surprise because North Korea in recent weeks has raised tensions by testing new short-range weapons that threaten South Korea. Moon said, "The advantage Japan's economy has over us is the size of its economy and domestic market. If the South and North could create a peace economy through economic cooperation, we can catch up with Japan's superiority in one burst." But some experts disagree. They say Moon's claim that South Korea could overcome the trade dispute with Japan by cooperating with North Korea shows that he is running out of ideas to limit Japan's influence. Japan has a large trade surplus with South Korea. Opposition lawmaker Lee Man-hee is the spokesman for the Liberty Korea Party. He said Moon's comments were shocking and unrealistic. He added, "A peace economy, where peaceful relations drive economic growth, only sounds good, and it's not clear what it is and how things will be actually done." Moon has described Japan's moves to tighten controls on exports to South Korean manufacturers as an attempt to damage his country's export-dependent economy. He has accused Japan of using trade as a weapon over political disputes surrounding the country's wartime history. Japan says measures to restrict exports are based on national security concerns. Japanese officials also have said that South Korea cannot be fully trusted to enact sanctions against North Korea. They suggested that the South might have permitted secret materials to reach the North. North Korea has been demanding that South Korea restart inter-Korean economic projects held back by U.S.-led restrictions against the North. The U.S. has said the restrictions should stay in place until the North takes steps to give up its nuclear weapons. Choi Gong is with the Asan Institute for Policy Studies in Seoul. He said Moon's comments could create tension with the U.S. and send the wrong message to North Korea. He added that it was unclear whether Moon's suggestion that he could help end the trade dispute with Japan through inter-Korean relations was realistic. Moon met with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un 3 times last year. They agreed to restart economic cooperation when possible. However, the inter-Korean peace process has stopped since a meeting in Hanoi, Vietnam, between Kim and U.S. President Donald Trump in February failed. The leaders disagreed over how to exchange easing restrictions for ending North Korea's nuclear weapons production. South Korea plans new investments aimed at maintaining its supply of 100 important materials and parts used in computers, vehicles, and other major export areas. Companies in the country have heavily relied on Japanese imports to produce finished products. Last week, Japan's cabinet approved the removal of South Korea from a list of countries with special trade standing. The move would require Japanese companies to apply for case-by-case approvals for exports to South Korea of hundreds of items. The decision followed a July measure to strengthen controls on some technology exports to South Korean companies that depend on Japanese materials. Those materials include ones used in the production of computers, wireless phones, and televisions, which are all important South Korean exports.
The most critical lesson Mwana Hamisi Abdallah learned as a student in Tanzania came during a graduation ceremony when she was 14. A teacher noted that several students had left school early to marry. The teacher then shared an emergency phone number for any girl pushed into marriage. "I wrote down the number and went home," said Mwana Hamisi, now 15 years old. She held on to that number. Mwana Hamisi comes from a village in the country's southeastern Lindi area. One day, her mother informed her she soon would be married to a stranger. Mwana Hamisi burst into tears. She cried out, "I don't want to be married." But her mother ignored her. She said that the man was young and a good person. Mwana Hamisi's grandmother gave her a wireless phone to communicate with the man she was to marry. Instead, Mwana Hamisi used it to plan her escape. "Immediately, I called the police officers. They asked me to get the man's name and the wedding date," Mwana Hamisi remembered. Once she had a few details from her mother and passed them along, police notified a local official. The official showed up at the family's home the day before the planned marriage. He asked the girl whether she wanted to marry. "When I said no, he halted the ceremony," she said of the official. A local social worker made plans for the girl to move to a shelter in Dar es Salaam, about 325 kilometers to the north.
Mwana Hamisi was able to avoid an unwanted marriage. That is not the case for many young women in African countries below the Sahara Desert. The area has the world's highest number of child marriages. Every year, more than 3 million girls there marry before they turn 18, the United Nations Children's Fund reports. The area also has some of the highest rates of boy child marriage, UNICEF noted in a spring 2019 report. Girls are pushed into early unions by custom or a lack of good possibilities, research shows. Children most at risk of early marriage come from poor families in rural areas and have limited access to education. In sub-Saharan Africa, 7 in 10 girls finish primary school, but only 4 in 10 complete the lower secondary level, World Bank researchers say. In a November 2018 report, the World Bank said women with secondary education are more likely to work, and they earn twice as much as those with no education. The report estimates that child marriage could cost a collective $63 billion in lost earnings over the lifetimes of women in 12 African countries.
An African Union campaign to end child marriage began in 2014. It has created quite a lot of buzz on the continent, said Mundia Situmbeko, with the international coalition Girls Not Brides. The campaign has targeted 30 countries, including Niger and Tanzania. It tries to educate people on the personal and societal good of delaying marriage. It calls for supporting legal and policy actions to protect human rights and build a social movement. And, Situmbeko says, the AU has shown respect for traditional and religious leaders. They are the ones who can lead the agenda of changing social norms and the value that is placed on the girl, she said. In Tanzania, where Mwana Hamisi left her family to avoid marriage, about one-third of girls marry by 18, says Girls Not Brides. As a result, just more than 25% of all girls complete secondary school. In a January report on Tanzania, the World Bank said that ending child marriage and early childbearing would slow the country's population growth. This would reduce the demand for social services, as well as pressure on infrastructure. The country could see savings of up to $5 billion a year by 2030 as a result, the report said. The Tanzanian government and courts are struggling with child marriage. A legal action led its high court to strike two parts of the country's marriage law in 2016. The action raised girls' lowest marriageable age to 18. Before that, the age was 15. But the government appealed the decision last year, saying the lower age protected girls who become pregnant when they are not married. A ruling is expected soon. For now, the government expels pregnant girls from school.
Despite the unsettled law, Tanzanian girls like Mwana Hamisi have been able to get help when faced with an unwanted marriage. They, like Mwana Hamisi, can turn to the Federal Tanzania Police Force. It has trained teams across the country to deal sensitively with reports of domestic or sexual violence, human trafficking, or threats to children. Officials can remove children from a situation they believe is unsafe. Mwana Hamisi went to a Dar es Salaam shelter run by Kyoto Women's Health and Development. The non-governmental organization also operates drop-in centers for at-risk girls and women. Mwana Hamisi has worked with counselors to recover from trauma. She is taking classes in computer science, finances, cooking, and textile arts. My dream is to become a great fashion designer, she says. Kiwohidi leader Justa K. Mwaituka says Moana Hamisi has become an inspiration. She says Moana Hamisi helped start a girls' group that meets daily to support the goals of education, female empowerment, and a greater say in whether and when to marry. Communication with Moana Hamisi's family is limited. The girl's mother sends messages through a social worker. The goal is to reconnect the family but delay an unwanted union, says Regina Mandia, who runs the shelter. She adds, rushing these children to marry is to curtail their dreams.
South Korea's Hyundai Motor Group has launched its first vehicle with a solar top, or roof, charging system. Other automakers are also developing solar charging systems as a way to help power electric cars and increase driving distances between charges. In an announcement last week, Hyundai said its system is available on the new Sonata hybrid model, currently for sale in South Korea. A hybrid is a vehicle that can be powered by both electricity and liquid fuel, like gasoline. The Sonata hybrid has a structure of solar panels built into the top of the car. The system captures energy from the sun to help charge the vehicle's battery. Charging can take place when the car is parked or as the user drives it. The energy captured by the panels is converted by a controller into electricity that can be stored in the battery. Hyundai says the technology can capture enough solar energy to charge 30% to 60% of the vehicle's battery. The company estimates that with 6 hours of daily charging, the system could increase a driver's yearly travel distance by 1,300 kilometers. Other electric and hybrid vehicles need to be attached to electrical outlets in order to recharge. Charging times differ widely depending on the vehicle and the kind of electrical equipment used. Manufacturers have long sought to increase the distance a car can drive before requiring a battery charge. Hyundai said in its announcement, the next market for the solar roof Sonata model will be North America, where the vehicle will be available soon. The company says it plans to add the technology to several other models in the coming years. Another automaker that has been developing solar charging technology for several years is Japan's Toyota. Last month, the company announced it had launched road testing of vehicles equipped with solar panels. The panels were attached to the roof and other parts of Toyota's Prius PHV model for the testing, which will take place on the streets of Tokyo. Toyota says its system being tested is designed to charge the vehicle's battery whether the car is parked or driving. Information collected during the tests will be used to develop a new solar recharging system the company said in a statement. Toyota said the goal of its development and testing is to help create a new solar battery panel market. Such a market could be an important step to help solve the world's energy and environmental problems, the company added. U.S.-based Karma Automotive gave its Revero model a solar panel roof. The company says owners of the vehicle can expect to drive 800 to 1,600 kilometers per year on energy from the sun. In Europe, two startup automakers have plans to sell vehicles powered by solar energy. Germany-based Sono Motors says its solar cell-equipped electric Scion model could add an extra 34 kilometers of driving each day through power from the sun. The company plans to begin production next year in Sweden. It says at least 10,000 people have placed reservations to get a Scion, which the company's website says sells for about $28,600. In the Netherlands, a company called Lightyear says it plans to start manufacturing its Lightyear 1 model by 2021. The company describes its electric vehicle with solar charging abilities as the first long-range solar car today. Solar panels are included on the vehicle's roof and front hood. Lightyear says drivers of the car could travel up to 20,000 kilometers a year on solar energy, depending on climate conditions. The Lightyear 1 currently has a reservation price of $134,000. I'm Brian Lynn.
Sometimes a visit to a national park means hiking rugged trails and climbing high mountains. Other times it means crawling through caves or rafting down a wild river. But we want to take it easier. So we head south to the state of Arkansas. It is home to a national park that is perfect for resting and renewing a tired body. Visitors treat themselves to one of its natural thermal baths. Humans have been enjoying the warm waters for thousands of years. Welcome to Hot Springs National Park.
Most national parks are far from cities and industry, but Hot Springs is different. It covers more than 2,200 hectares in and around the city of Hot Springs, Arkansas. Congress approved special protection of the area in 1832. Known unofficially as America's Spa, it became a national park in 1921. The park's geothermal springs and other resources have long been used for therapeutic bathing. The average temperature of the hot springs is 61 degrees Celsius. The thermal mineral waters reportedly help ease many health problems, including arthritis and rheumatism. The springs emerge along the western edge of Hot Springs Mountain. Scientists say the hot springs are made of rainwater that fell in the hot springs area thousands of years ago. The rainwater slowly dripped down to the Earth's crust. When water rises back up to the surface quickly and does not have a chance to cool, hot springs form.
Hot Springs National Park's early bathhouses were simple structures. They were made of canvas and lumber. They were built right over some of the natural springs. Later, businessmen built more complex wooden structures. But those structures were frequently damaged by fires and from exposure to water and steam. Beginning in the early 1900s, stone, stucco, and brick structures replaced the wooden bathhouse buildings. These large and much more elaborate structures still stand today along what is known as Bathhouse Row. These bathhouses were built along the eastern bank of Hot Springs Creek. The hot water from the hillside springs flows down a system of wooden troughs and into the buildings.
Each spring was said to help cure different kinds of conditions. Some of the early names referred to their chemical properties. Others were named after the part of the body that its waters could best help. There was once a spring called Kidney, and another named Liver. 8 buildings line Bathhouse Row today. They are very large. Many of them are 3 levels. But most of them no longer offer therapeutic water treatments. Instead, they house park shops and the visitor's center. But one has remained open for more than 100 years. The Buckstaff Bathhouse has operated continuously since 1912. It is one of the best preserved bathhouses within Hot Springs National Park. Visitors today can enjoy traditional thermal mineral baths. The baths are different temperatures and have different properties.
Another bathhouse offers a more modern spa experience. Quapaw Baths and Spa also sits along Bathhouse Row. It was renovated and reopened in 2007 on Hot Springs' 175th anniversary. When you are done with your relaxing bath, there is still more to enjoy at Hot Springs National Park. Visitors can hike along the more than 43 kilometers of trails in the park. You will find unusual rock formations and views of the surrounding rolling hills. The landscape provides evidence of the area's hot spring history. On the Tufa Terrace Trail, you will see huge deposits of tufa created by the flowing springs over thousands of years. Tufa is a kind of rock shaped by water.
But you do not have to hike to see the sights. There are beautiful mountain roads to drive as well. However you explore Hot Springs National Park, you can't help but relax. I'm Katie Weaver.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.